Intention Seekers, welcome to another episode of the Living Your Intentions podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Matthews, all the way from Perth, Australia, and I'm joined today by our featured guest, Susie Briscoe. Susie certainly has a wealth of experience as a speaker, author, and coach. She founded ASA Coaching Associates in 2004 after graduating as a fully accredited coach, mentor, and supervisor with Coaching and Mentoring International. She was also headhunted by Brian Tracy International to become their freelance master coach outside of the US. Susie is a firm believer that actions bring results. She believes that by enabling natural talent and ability, you are able to produce outstanding results, and that focus, drive, and enthusiasm, once released, will allow you to achieve your full potential. Her coaching style has been labeled as intuitive, empathetic, compassionate, and motivating. Very excited to speak to her, so let's get started. Hey, Susie, how are you going today?
I'm doing great, thanks, Jen. Really lovely to be on your podcast.
And it's really excited. Lovely to have you here.
Thank you.
So we'll get started with your story. I believe that people connect with others best when they hear other people's stories. And I also believe that there are three main reasons why people may become so passionate about mindset and all that it has to offer. The first reason is that they've been through a previous experience, obstacle, or trauma that has made them reassess their mindset and come up with strategies and habits to help overcome those obstacles. The second reason is because they've had an aha moment that has made them realize that their passion in life is helping others make the changes needed to achieve true fulfillment. And the third reason is because they've realized that in order to truly progress in life, they need to up the ante and push past their limited beliefs, go outside of their own comfort zones, and reach for the stars. And some people are all three. Now, Susie, it's time to tell us your story about how you've gotten to where you are now and how mindset has played such a huge part.
Wow, that's a big question.
It is. I told you.
Yeah, you did. You did warn me. So how did I get to be where I am? Well, I think if you go back to when I was at school, I was always the charity school monitor or that sort of thing. I was very good at doing that. And so nobody else wanted to do that job. So I took it on and I was happy to do it. Mm-hmm. So why am I talking about charity and school monitors? Because my mindset is basically driven by my charity disposition, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And when I was a young adult, the first few years of my marriage, say, I wanted very much to have four children. I nearly lost my first baby. And fortunately, she managed to hang on in there. And so I was able to go nearly full term with her. And then I couldn't have any more children after that. And I was introduced by a neighbor. This is almost as long-winded as your question is. Sorry.
No, it's all about your story. So you go ahead.
Okay. So I was introduced by a good friend and neighbor at that time, and she remains a very good friend, to a charity called Action Medical Research that were doing lots of research about problems in pregnancy.
Okay.
And that got me hooked into supporting them. Mm-hmm. And that follows through the whole of my life as it happens, because it's thinking outside of yourself. When I realized I couldn't have any more children, I decided, what do? I throw my legs in the air and kick and scream and shout and have one of those moments.
Yeah.
Or I think, well, what can I do about this? How can I try and make a difference? And I decided to try and make a difference. If I can't have any more babies, let's look to supporting the charity Action Medical Research that was researching into those pregnancy problems and fetal development and see if I can help make a difference. And fortunately, I can say that I have been able to make a difference. I've been a supporter of theirs since 1973.
Wow.
And Yeah. And so that got me more into the charity mindset that I already had.
Yeah. So is that charity, or is it like a research based one? Is it? Do they research like preterm labour and all that sort of thing?
They research so many different things. If you think of rubella,
yep.
The vaccine against, they discovered that.
Oh,
they
okay.
founded the vaccine, or helped certainly develop the vaccine for polio research. It was brought about because Duncan Guthrie had a child who had polio.
Right.
And so sitting around his kitchen table all those years back, he decided he wanted to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to help his daughter. And so that's how the charity was actually founded. So I'm standing on the shoulders of giants in that particular charity. And I mean, they've gone on, they were very instrumental in hip replacements. It's more geared towards children and...
So it's more like a medical research charity then,
absolutely.
I suppose.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly what it is.
Oh, fantastic. And
yeah.
So is this a special charity over in the UK, or are they like global?
Well, I would say they are. That is a difficult question to answer because polio and rubella vaccine it stretches across the whole globe. And you think of the third world, the children that have been vaccinated now against both of those things in Africa, for example.
Yeah.
And the hip replacements, how many hip replacements are done globally?
Mm.
But it's actually found, it rests in England.
What?
So that was my beginning, my insight into charity work, following on from my school kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was invited into more charities and became a board member of a couple of charities. And even an American nonprofit invited me onto their board. So I was beginning to get quite a lot of knowledge around how charities work and what makes them tick. And then suddenly, to start with, I didn't need to work.
Yeah.
My husband actively didn't want me to work. It messed up his, those were the days, it messed up his tax return.
Yeah, yep.
So, and then finally that was no longer an issue. And I trained to be a coach purely and simply because I was on the wrong time clock. I'd set up a small charity with a girlfriend. It was founded on education principles this time.
Mm-hmm.
And was to educate AIDS orphans and necessitous children around the world. And we started in Kenya, and then we went into India.
Oh.
And I am hoping to launch into Nepal. I have a Nepalese friend who is a doctor, and he wants me to set up a charity with him, which will be very exciting.
Yeah, that does sound exciting.
Yeah. So I was doing the recce in India, and I was on the wrong time clock when I came home. So when I came downstairs at 2 o'clock in the morning, I just wanted some trashy film or other, anything, escapism, you know?
Yep.
And what I got was Open University, which didn't really fill the bill. However, the program was so interesting that I ended up watching it for 4 straight hours, right through until 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And it was a clinical chartered psychologist, Ros Taylor, who actually made me think I'd gone the wrong career path, and that I hate the word should, but it would have been very interesting if I had pursued that kind of a path.
Right, so that's when you changed your direction?
Well, kind of, but my daughter had something to do with that, because I was telling her about this, and she said, well, why don't you do it now, train? And I said, don't be silly, darling, by the time I've got my qualifications, I'll probably be 1 foot in the grave. And to get to the level that Ros is at, i.e. calling my own tune, well, heaven only knows how long that would take me. So she then sent me a link to a coaching college.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really want to do anything about that. I wasn't looking. I wasn't, you know, I was quite happy merrily going along my own little road.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, she's taken so much trouble in finding it for me. It would be rude to ignore it. So I looked them up and they had an open day coming up in a couple of Sundays. And that was in London, in Mayfair, at the Women's University Club.
Okay.
And I thought, wow, I've not been there. That sounds interesting. Notice I've not been there, i.e. the building in nosy, beaky here, wanting to see what all that was about. And so I went along and then, you know, that was it, basically. I signed up on the spot. It was to my new career that was going to be coaching and mentoring.
And how long did that take to complete?
Oh, well, I did a coaching course. That was a year, a mentoring course, and then a supervising course. Mm. It was intensive. I would guess probably 2 or 3 years before I was fully qualified in everything.
Yeah. And that's what you've been doing since. You've been doing coaching. And,
yeah. Yes, it's grown. The supervising one allows me to supervise other professional coaches, which is very interesting.
Yeah, getting it would to be. And to see the changes that that happen to not only them but also their clients as well is pretty remarkable, huh?
Absolutely. But what is interesting is how coaching has changed. When I first was practicing coaching, pure coaching is literally question-led. The client knows all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I noticed, because I keep myself up very, very strictly up together with continual professional development.
Yes.
So I was noticing that in America, a lot of the coaches were no longer, and these were the very top coaches, they were no longer purely and simply delivering a question-based system. They were starting to teach.
Oh, okay.
So that had me thinking again. And I thought, well, I've got life experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm qualified to be a mentor. And I've got so many different facets that brought me to where I am. My first career was advertising and PR before I was married. And marketing.
Completely different change.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't make it up, really, could you?
No.
But it's all come together really nice. And I think every single step of the journey, my journey, has brought me to where I need to be right now, which is really lovely.
Definitely. It's just like a bunch of stepping stones that get you to the place that, to our purpose, I suppose.
That's right. And I still believe that, well, I developed I went back to source, as it were, my source.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked out that my passion and my purpose is all around the charity aspect.
Yes.
And so how did I link that then to my coaching work and my mentoring work? And I realized I could do that by bringing a legacy mindset to my clients that I'm working with.
Yeah.
And that it more and more is quite interesting because I've been doing this for, well, coaching I've done since 2004, but my legacy mindset, I suppose, came to me about 2006. And now so many people are coming to coaching with that kind of a slant to it. It's almost as though they've suddenly seen the light and everybody's talking my language, which is, it's great. It makes life a lot easier because everybody's singing from the same hymn sheet.
Exactly. Yeah, I think the whole direction of coaching has definitely changed. Like there's more coaches now that are creating courses and to teach other people to coach, which is remarkable.
Yes, that's true. But I would question, I mean, for me, whenever I want to get a training course in anything, I go right back. Who taught them and who taught them? Get as far back as you can to original source.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're getting it really straight from the horse's mouth.
Yeah, and I think over time you've also got to look at the fact that you know, education changes as well. And so yeah. I think even the big organizations change as time goes through as well in how they teach. So
yes.
But I totally agree.
I think the whole thing, though, is, I mean, to start with, I was seeing coaches thinking, I mean, this is very naughty of me to say this, but I can't resist it. I have to say it. You know, standing around on a beach, holding hands and chanting isn't really making the kind of contribution that I am talking about.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a much more hands-on contribution of physically making that difference. I know that if you're a yogi and you're sitting in a Himalayan cave and you're praying and you're chanting, that is sending out ripples of energy, good energy across the world.
Absolutely.
I'm not disputing that. Mm-hmm. But for me, I want to go do that and do the next bit as well, which is a bit more hands-on.
Exactly. And I mean, you've got so much going on at the moment. So if you could pick one thing that you're most excited about, what would you say that would be?
Ooh, well, actually, I can pick one thing mm-hmm. because I've had somebody from LinkedIn. This is why the world is such a small place these days.
Absolutely.
Somebody on LinkedIn, many people on LinkedIn have reached out to me, which I'm delighted to meet them and try and work with them.
Yep.
That's how we get together, Jen.
It is, yes.
So this guy called Tuco, he is coming to film me. He actually is in the UK.
Yeah.
And he's got this new platform that he's setting up with a group of his colleagues. Wealth Dragons, they are called.
Yeah.
And he's coming to film me putting together a course.
Fantastic.
So I've not done that before.
No.
So I'm like a little kid. I'm so excited.
And how's everything going with the preparation for the course and all that sort of thing?
Well, he said to me, I said, we'll have a pre-meeting to talk about the course. I said, great, that sounds good. How long do you want me to set aside for that? He said, oh, I should think 45 minutes. And I was like, what? I don't think so. I really don't think so. So he said, well, you're the expert in your business and I'm the expert in filming it. So, you know, what's going to happen? We just talk about what you're going to do. That'll take about 45 minutes. So I, okay, fine.
Okay. Well, that should be a very interesting film. So is it?
Yeah, watch this space.
Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing it when it's done. So when's that going to take place? Is that like in the next couple of months or?
No, that's on the 19th of this month.
Wow, only a couple of weeks.
I know. So we had the 45 minute. I hate to say it was exactly 45 minutes. I can't believe it, but we did it.
So,
and I have now got to put the meat on the bones, as they say. I know what I want to deliver, but it's definitely, he was only sort of highlighting the headlines, and now I'm putting the meat on the bones, as I said. So,
that's funny because we talk longer than 45 minutes just on our pre-interview. So
I know. And isn't it fun? I loved that. It was just such, it was so amazing to get to really, to get together and talk and be free spirits, which we've discovered we both are.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so much fun. But, I think that's remarkable. And so did you say it's coming out on the 19th or you're supposed to be having the course finished on the 19th?
No, the course will be filmed on the 19th.
It will be filmed. So you've had the pre-chat with him for 45 minutes already?
Yeah, 45 minutes pre-chat.
And now you've got to get
I've
all together.
Now I've got a lot of work to do.
Oh, that'll be cool. And how's he going to market this film?
It's going up on his web platform. It's a new platform that he's putting together.
Cool.
And it's going to be different people putting together different courses.
It's an interesting idea.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I've never heard of it before, but it'll be interesting to take a look at once it's done, and I'm sure yours will be brilliant, Susie.
Well, I hope so. I've got my son-in-law. We're filming at my daughter's house.
Okay.
And my son-in-law is a photographer. So I persuaded him to be around. And Tuco said that he was interested in talking to Charles and perhaps getting him to do a film, a similar thing as well.
Cool.
So I think that'll be really interesting.
Awesome.
But that's only one of the things I've got in the pot. I've got, I've just completed a chapter for a book that's launching on the 14th. I mean, talk about cut it fine.
Well, your book?
Briscoe's. No, well, that's another book. I've got, this book is launching on the 14th, and it's a chapter in a book about female entrepreneurs.
Awesome. Yeah.
And whether we think differently. So that's about 14 or 15 authors, each contributing a chapter. So I think that's going to be interesting.
That will be.
And that is being hosted by the International Association of Professional Life Coaches, and that's over in the States.
Oh,
so
wow.
I feel very honoured to be part of that.
Definitely an honour there.
Yes.
And then... You've got one going too?
Yes, I have. I'm hoping my own personal book will be launched December the 20th. It's been stuck in the birth canal. I think I shared that with you the other day. It was supposed to be October the 29th, and then I sort of went, So you've got no, well, I guess you do have.
Yeah.
You're putting yourself out there. You're laying yourself so bare. With the co-authoring books, I have other people sharing the weight, as it were.
Yeah, but when is your time, own?
Absolutely, it's so different. I still give respect and honour to the books that I've been co-authoring.
Yeah.
It's been a joy to be part of that, and it's given me a lot of experience in what's involved and how to go about it.
Yeah, but it's a completely different experience to your own book, isn't it?
Yep. It's called Colour Your Legacy, and it's going back to my favourite theme, which is about making a contribution in your lifetime.
Fantastic.
So how you know, when you're walking, we all take a pathway through life.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, are we going to be able to look back and think we walked on rock rather than on sand? And
exactly.
The footprints that we've left.
Yeah, have we left a mark in this world?
That's right.
Absolutely.
Absolutely right.
Now, the title of my podcast is Living Your Intentions, right? And I often say that goals and intentions are used alongside each other. How would you define the difference between the two? And what is one goal and one intention you've set for yourself recently?
Wow. Well, I think I've already talked about the goals that I...
Mm-hmm.
This year, I set myself the task of writing a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very nearly completing that. So my intention was to write a book.
Yep.
And my goal was to deliver it this year.
Fantastic.
Is that a cop-out on the answer? But I don't know.
No, that's perfect. That's perfect.
Okay. But you have to put a time frame around it. A goal is only a dream unless you've got a time on it.
Exactly. I totally agree with that. And actually, every year we sort of like sit around as a family and we have this big, massive card. And on one side of the card is everything we've accomplished in the previous year. And then, and then on the other side are our goals and our intentions for the following year. And
I think that's wonderful, Jen.
And then we have it hung up all year. And it's funny.
Let me turn the tables on you. We're in month 12 of this year.
Uh-huh.
When you're looking at that chart now,
yep.
How successful have you been?
Do you know what? It is so funny.
Don't you just love me?
Oh, I do. It is so funny because the way I've really changed my whole thinking on this, right? I love to set goals and I love to set my intentions every year. Every New Year's, I still do it because I like to have a direction for the following year. But what I've realized is that I may come to month 12 and I may have only completed a quarter or a half of what I've got there because throughout the year things change. And I've pivoted my whole business this year. So,
well, in that case, I would call that document an evergreen document because
absolutely.
It has life flowing through it.
Exactly.
And I think that is good because it's not set in stone. Those are the guidelines you want to live your year by.
Yep.
But when you get pivots in the road that you think are worthwhile, little
take those
sort of
opportunities.
Avenues, yeah. Yep. You go and explore them.
Exactly.
I love that.
I mean, I set the year up of what I want to achieve, but then I also do it under the knowledge that if something else comes up that is more suited for my path, then I'm going to change it. So,
okay.
What
would make it more suited?
Well, my whole pivot towards the mindset field was a big one for me because I realized I was in an area that as much as I loved it, because, you know, I mean, I've studied it for years and I've been a naturopath for 10 years. It wasn't at the core of my heart. It wasn't really tugging at me. And so when I started thinking about what I really was passionate about and what was stopping my clients from achieving everything that they wanted to achieve, I realized it was the mind. And so that's when I decided to pivot. And so even though a lot of my goals will have, you know, write this book or do this course or whatever. So that was based around my nutrition area. I still plan on doing courses and writing books, but just in this area, in my nutrition.
Actually, it's actually showing a growth within yourself.
Yep. Absolutely.
That you, I like that. And that's what I like about the way that I am moving my life forward. Mm-hmm. And like you, I still look at the end of every year. I don't get together as a family. I just do this solo.
Yep.
But I'm beginning to think that I might copy you and try and get my daughter, my son-in-law, and my grandson.
Yep.
Because if you can get the intention
yep.
to do that set early enough,
and what
that
I,
will be something
well,
that
what I like. Yeah, well, what I like about it too is that when you have the kids involved, they're able to really dig deep and think about what they've achieved in the previous year. And, you know, it sort of like gives them that motivation for the upcoming year. And they go, wow, I really did do good the last year, you know?
Yeah.
Yep, so.
I really find that interesting. I'm going to do that. That's a definite. You've inspired me.
Awesome. Now, on another note, I believe habits and routines are also critically important. Do you have one habit or mindset strategy that you've implemented which has had the most impact on you?
Wow. I think, I asked you to be kind to me. You're giving me difficult questions.
Do you have a morning routine or anything like that?
I used to have.
Now you just get out of bed when you wake up.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a bit like that. But I have the grace of a more mature age around me. So I'm very gentle with my... I think that is something I'm learning, to be gentle with myself.
Yep.
And to remember that what I could do in my 30s and 40s and 50s...
Yep.
I may not actually be able to reach on now. And that doesn't mean to say I'm winding down.
No.
It just means to say I'm putting a different time scale to it. That's what I mean.
Absolutely.
So I'm still going at hell for leather pace. This year I've done my own book. I've co-authored a book that's already published, Are You the Missing Piece,
mm-hmm.
which went to number one.
Awesome.
I have co-authored the new book that is launching on December the 14th about female entrepreneurs and the way we work our businesses. I've done my own book. I've become a trustee of a local charity, Phoenix Theatre and Arts Centre of Excellence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking on board responsibility for a new event celebrating the Phoenix. We're going to do an annual awards ceremony. What do a better word, ceremony, and that will be in about March next year. And we're very ambitious with who we're getting to come along to that. I think you won't, even though you're growing older, each of us is growing older year on year, as long as you have fresh ideas coming to you, flowing into you, that you want to implement, you will never really grow old, because I'm just like a big kid. I get very excited about new things.
That's good.
As well as respecting the things that are already in my life. I'm a terrible hoarder. I hate parting with things. But,
actually,
but
I
love collecting you.
Yeah, well, I've just had to, because I like to declutter at the end of every year. And I, I completely
I'm not letting my daughter listen to this. I am certainly letting my daughter. She will have me over a barrel. She'll say, there you are, Jennifer does it.
But the funny thing is, like, I've been saying to my husband for I don't know how long, you've got to clean out your closet, because he's got so many shirts and stuff that he doesn't wear. Like, and I don't think I've seen him in them for the last 4 or 5 years. So, but he just hasn't had time to go through them. But
but you make time for what you want to do.
Yeah, but he didn't. He obviously didn't want it enough. I mean, I think it was more me wanting it than him.
Now we're getting down to it.
Yeah, but he made the time this weekend and he cleared it and he realises how much better he feels, because the closet's actually clear and he can actually find his clothes. So, it's funny. I mean, I like to do it at the end of the year, so I'm going to the year all, refreshed. But I've got two teenagers, so it never stays like that. But it's interesting. But now, before we go to the sponsor break, I was just wondering if you'd give my listeners a couple of tips they can take and implement today that will help them enhance their own mindset and well-being.
Okay. Well, I have a gift for your listeners.
Awesome.
If that's all right.
Yep.
Let me just see what it is. I would like them to go to, hang on, I've got to get the link in front of me. It is tiny.cc / gift from Susie.
Awesome.
So if they can go there, I am gifting them one of my products, which is about having confidence. It's called Be Bold.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
And I hope that they will. I really hope that they will like it. That's my Christmas and New Year gift to them.
Oh, thank you.
That's okay. So what am I offering them? I'm offering them a chance to really learn how to be confident and get the confidence from inside yourself.
Yeah.
Rather than looking elsewhere for it. I can remember I was terrified. I was seated next to the chairman of an international company. It was Blue Chip Company.
Mm-hmm.
And I was absolutely terrified. And I suddenly thought, I've got nothing to talk to him about. What do I do? You know, little me again, you know, housewife from the local country lane.
Yep.
Sitting next to the international chairman of. And then I suddenly thought, just ask him questions,
mm-hmm.
get him to talk about himself. And as soon as you turn the spotlight from yourself, away from yourself, onto the person you're talking with, it's a completely different focus, and you relax and you enjoy the conversation so much more.
Absolutely.
So that's a gift. That's my gift.
Thank you so much. Now, we're going to be heading across to the Fast Five round in just a second, but Intention Seekers, please stay tuned, because after we get back from thanking our sponsors, we'll be heading into the Fast Five round, where our guest will answer 5 thought-provoking questions that will hopefully inspire and motivate you to begin making choices that will move you towards fulfilling your purpose in life. Are you looking for a new technique that not only allows you to sleep better, decrease your stress and feel more relaxed, but it also helps boost happiness, self-esteem, concentration, creativity, better memory and much, much more? Are you having problems with your limited beliefs? Are you struggling with finding your purpose in life? Well, I have great news for you. Syncuition is a program consisting of 60 amazing tracks that all work together to expand your intuition and really progress on your own mindset journey. So why is intuition so important? Firstly, intuition helps identify your true sense of mission and purpose, and it is the laser beam that will direct you to where you need to go to achieve your ultimate dreams. It also allows you to open yourself up to ideas and opportunities that your rational mind may not even be able to comprehend. By listening to your intuition, you'll stop the limiting mindset that the rational mind gives you and allows you to tap into the subconscious mind to create your ultimate dreams. On top of this, it allows you to see when something is not quite right with a person or a situation so that you can avoid nasty confrontations or imminent danger. Now, doesn't intuition sound amazing? With its help, you can alter those limiting beliefs and reach for the stars like I talk about in every podcast. So if you're interested in learning more about this awesome program and get 3 free tracks for you to use today, you just need to visit livingyourintentions.com/sync. So, Susie, now we have come to the Fast 5 round where I ask for very quick but concise answers that may help motivate my listeners to also make changes in their lives and to begin reaching for the stars.
So, first, I did tell you I missed the Precy class at school. Did I tell you that?
No.
Well, this is something you need to know. Okay, go for it.
What would you define as your purpose in life and what are you doing right now? And I think you covered this previously.
Yeah, it's definitely helping to show others ways to make contributions to their own life, giving in their community, their family, and on a larger scale, if appropriate.
Absolutely. And what was the last thing that you've done which has put you outside of your comfort zone?
Oh, well, I'm doing it right now.
Because this is your first podcast interview, right?
It's my first podcast. Can you believe it? I've done radio interviews before, but I've not ever done a podcast before.
Well, there
you go. Congratulations, Jen. So this is one thing, and I guess writing my book has been another one.
And okay, that definitely puts you outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah, definitely.
And what are 3 things that you're grateful for today?
I'm grateful to my late husband. He died last year, and I'm so grateful to him for allowing me to become the person that I've become. Now, that sounds strange, and you only want a precise answer, but he gave me the space within the marriage to grow, and if you grow in that way as a couple, as an individual, it's exponential growth on the couple. I hope that makes sense.
Yes.
I know what I mean. Did you want 2 more?
Yeah, 2 more, please.
2 more. My husband, my daughter, and my family, basically. Let's lump the family all in together because they keep me on my toes.
Yes.
And I think my friends, the people that I interact with,
and also
absolutely, and also not taking nature for granted, remembering to look outside and notice the snowdrops coming through in the beginning of, you know, the spring, to notice just different natural things around you. Don't ever take it for granted that it's always there, because sometimes I hope the way this planet is going, it might not be. But anyway, not on a doom and gloom. I'm grateful for nature. Yeah.
Fantastic. If you could recommend 1 book about mindset, what would that be and why?
Oh, I needed notice of that question. Well, I'm going to go for the obvious and say Colour Your Legacy. That was a bit naughty of me. But I think, Nancy Klein was very good.
Yeah.
I like her books. Nancy, I think, Klein. I'll stick with Nancy Klein. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll put in the show notes anyway, and we'll and people can check it up. And the last question for you. If you were given $1 million and you had 30 days to spend it, what would you spend it on?
Well, this is Well, I'm going to stick to my purpose. I'm going to say I would gift it. I'd probably gift it to my own charity, ASA Coaching Foundation. Okay. And then I would put that out to different charities. So I'd put it through my own charity,
yep,
and gift it to various charities. But instead of just gifting them a sum of money, mm-hmm, I would want to see how they could make that money grow. So it would be like a seed capital, if you will.
Yeah.
So, for example, I was a trustee for Battersea Dogs and Cats Home. I would sponsor an event that they were putting on with a view to them growing that, the money that I'm paying towards it, say three times.
Okay.
So that's a good idea. Making the money go further. It's not just a straightforward gift. And the only one I would be different with would be Action Medical Research, because with the medical research, you cannot actually...
No.
You don't know what is going to be good or bad. You can be as good as your expert panel will tell you, mm-hmm, and they make choices. And with Church Housing Trust, it would be, again, something to make the charity grow, to grow its own capital.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that it makes it. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a great use of your $1 million, Susie. Could do a lot.
Well, it would
make
it grow, hopefully, to $3 million and beyond.
Exactly. So there you go. You did an awesome job with that, Susie.
Thank you.
Your first podcast interview, and I had a lot of fun, and I'm sure the listeners have had a lot of fun today too.
Oh, I had so much fun. And please, may I tell them where they can find me? If they want to go and look me up anywhere,
absolutely,
they can find me on LinkedIn.
Yep.
But they can also find me on my own website, ACER, mm-hmm, coachingassociates.com.
Yep, fantastic. And that will be all in the show notes anyway, so they'll be able to go there and take a
great
look.
Oh, I'm so grateful. And don't forget for them to get my gift.
Absolutely
it's
not. That will
wonderful.
Also be there. Hey?
Thank you so much. It's been such fun. I love being your guest, Jen.
Yes.
And hopefully you'll invite me again.
I certainly will. And, we'll be in touch anyway with lots going
yes.
on. So you have an awesome day.
Thank you. And you too, my darling.
Take care. I'll speak to you later. Bye-bye. Hey, all. Sorry to interrupt, because I know you want to hear this beautiful, inspirational message from my daughter. But I just needed to mention about the events page that is found on my website. If you go to livingyourintentions.com/events, you'll find all of the amazing events that I'm putting on, from free meetups in Perth, Australia, to workshops in Perth, as well as free webinars and online events, and premium webinars and online events as well. Make sure that you check them out, see if there's something that interests you there, and I will catch you in the next episode. Thanks for that. Bye. Me.